numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeart Radio, YouTube TV. So many ways to take us in. We don't care which way you do. We just appreciate all those ways and appreciate that you've chosen to make us part of your morning. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. It's the U.S. Open, baby.
Late flight back last night, man.
Yeah, you cannot rely on, you know, when I went to visit my mom in D.C., 2 deplanings.
Ugh.
2, not one.
Yours was the worst.
And it was a 10.5-hour delay total, during which you cannot leave the airport because you don't know that it's going to be a 10.5-hour delay. This was just San Francisco to Vegas yesterday. And they're like, at the last minute, they're like, yeah, your flight's canceled. What? And they're like, well, okay, we're lucky you, though. We'll get you on an 8:55 p.m. flight. So, yeah, rolled into the apartment at 11:09 p.m. last night.
Flying's just
you
a disaster
cannot rely on anything.
These days. Yeah, like, it's so bad, it makes me not want to go places.
No, I just came to that conclusion. You cannot go anywhere.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's that bad. By the way, what's the most itchy part to get a mosquito bite on? How about the finger? As a
that's a bad
this
one.
This one hurts like the Dickens.
We're off the rails already. I'm gonna go with lower ankle. The foot ones are always a pain.
What's the origin of hurts like the Dickens? By the way, let's just talk old timey for the rest of the show. Mark Borchel will join us momentarily. Talk Major League Baseball, Judge, Ohtani, Skeens, Merrill, all of it coming up. U.S. Open and a tour championship talk with Jay Kahn as Keegan Bradley wins the BMW, now fourth place in points. But it's a staggered start in terms of the leaderboard, or the scoreboard, if you will, when it comes to the tour championship. So we'll talk about all the different bets you can make on that. And then later, Mike Somich, I believe here at the D with us, yes? We think. Mike Somich with us, gives us all his bets for this weekend. It's also, by the way, special numbers game investigation, Kelly, reveals that the NFL preseason is over.
Dunzo.
We got the team on that, and that's what they came back with. So I would like today, it doesn't have to be right now, but throughout the show, I want to go through what I believe will be my 5 contest picks for week 1. And yours.
Yeah, I've made some bets. I've made more bets than I thought I would have. So, yeah, I think I'm probably – I've got to have at least 3 of 5, I would think, settled. Most of the bets I've made, though, are numbers that are moving, and it's just trying to catch them before they move off of key numbers,
I think we're simpatico on one of those.
So that's what I'm like. Yeah. You're probably more settled on contest picks than I would be because the numbers are not going to be the same of what I bet them at.
Well, we don't think they'll be the same as they are now in
good point.
In
good
10
point.
In 9 days, but you know when the lines come out, but maybe they will. We'll get to that momentarily. Tennis. Okay, let's start with a few observations. First of all, let's start with tennis plays. It is the US Open. It begins today. I know Wimbledon is the most prestigious tennis slam, but the US Open is the most fun. Without question. And if you've never been particularly to a night match at the U.S. Open, at Ash, or at any of the side courts, you owe it to yourself to go. It's just raucous. Can we review? We'll review the futures that I gave out yesterday on the show. Iga to win at +320. You could get her at a better number than I did, about 50 cents. I have a Swiatek-Alcaraz parlay in the U.S. Open as well, +950. But the quarterly bets that I made last week, as you may have heard here on the show, quarter 2 on the women's side, I have Karolina Mukova at 10-1 and Anna Kalinskaya at 21-1. Took a couple players in Q2. That's the Elena Rybakina quarter, if you will. And then in the Coco Gauff quarter, I grabbed Paula Badosa at +550 to win that one, women's Q3. Those are the futures plays. Today, 64 matches. A little rain this morning, but that's going to go away. It's going to be a beautiful day in New York City. They should get all these in. Now, these are all at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport, all of their plays for subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. When the tennis tour is here in the U.S., or in North America to be more exact, I usually can give them out on the show as well. The problem is here at the U.S. Open, I usually don't just give them out the previous night. They're usually the previous day. And so yesterday, I gave, Bill Ady 6 plays. By the time AD was would turn them around and put them onto the website, one of them was already gone, 39 cents away. I had Elise Mertens minus 130 that I submitted. She's already minus 169 by the time I put it in, so that's not even a play anymore. It didn't even get to the website. But the five that remain, some of which you are still the same number. The two plays on the men's side are Hugo Grenier plus 114 over American Mitchell Krueger. I got plus 115, so it's right at the same spot there. Max Kaznikowski plus 102 against Pedro Martinez. Not that Pedro Martinez guy.
Oh!
Yeah, different guy. I had minus 101, so that's still very much playable. Now,
Max spelled his name wrong, too.
So Grenier and Kaznikowski, yes, he did, on the men's side. Great quality performance of Kaznikowski. On the ladies' side, this is a little, it's a little different. Yifan Wang, or I believe you say Wang Yifan, plus 311 is where I had her over Maria Sakkari here for a looking for a big first-round upset of Sakkari, who, if she gacks in a tournament, it's usually early. Like in the first round, in a slam, that is. Usually good on non-slam tournaments, but on slams, she usually goes out early if she's bad. This is plus 242 on Yifan Wang now. Now, that's, what is that? That's 70 cents, 69 cents. Those 69 cents are not created equal to, like, the, you know, the couple matches we had last week where we were 52 cents ahead and 41 cents ahead on both Badosa and Valinets, both of which lost, by the way. So you know about CLV. So you could still play this at plus 242. I'd still go. It's not as juicy, but it's still juicy enough. Solana Sierra, you cannot play. Even money yesterday over Tatiana Maria, she's minus 132. Those 32 cents are much more significant than the 69 cents in the previous match. So Solana Sierra, I do not recommend playing at the current price. And this match, which is one of the marquee first-round matches of the entire tournament.
Yeah, for real.
The American Amanda Anisimova got her at plus 150 yesterday against the lovely Zhang Xinwen of China. It's plus 147 now, still very much playable. And this, ladies and gentlemen, once again, one of these matches where I say to you, you should probably watch this tennis tournament. Mm. And the tennis will be pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, those are the plays in the U.S. Open. Day one, first round, cannot wait. For that,
let's go.
A little college football PSA too. Can we do that? I come on this show often. I don't know, Kelly, if you take notes ever on this show when I am prattling on about something. But one of the things I always say is, and it comes off, it might come off badly when I say it this way, where I'm just sort of like, you know, college football is the one sport where I feel like a pre-flop views end up getting torpedoed the quickest. So, you know, NFL, sure, there's going to be a surprise team or two, but generally we know who's good, we know who's bad, and that's usually good. NBA certainly is the case. You know, college basketball, yeah, there's always going to be upsets in March Madness, but we generally know who the good teams are. The AP preseason poll in college basketball actually is pretty good once you come around to March Madness in terms of, you know, helping you out with your bets. It's actually a pretty interesting thing. Baseball, same thing. There's always a surprise, but we kind of know who's good. We kind of know who's bad. College football, I used to say this before the transfer portal, right, where it's like, you know, everybody would say, oh, they're returning nine guys on offense, they're returning eight guys on defense. But no one would ever follow up, with the exception of Bob, by the way, Dr. Bob, no one would ever follow up with, are they any good, the guys that are returning or not? Like, there was always this missing element where it's like, it doesn't matter if they don't play football well. Right, so it doesn't mean that that is a translation to that team's good. Whereas if some team has complete upheaval on offense and defense, they're going to be bad.
We always used to joke about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a 3-win team that returns 10 starters on offense, does that mean that's a good thing?
Exactly. And now we have the transfer portal. So I guess I'm just trying to say here, and again, it's only 4 games that we saw this Saturday, but I just want to drive it home that please, with college football, try to. The challenge is going to be to purge a lot of the consensus opinion you might have heard. Because I just think it's the sport that it's the most difficult to wrap around. Now, people think that's disrespectful. I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to sort of state the case about that one sport ultimately is not going to be as easy to translate from preseason to the regular season. And listen, Georgia Tech, 10.5-point dog. They beat FSU, your Seminoles, outright, 24-21. They just absolutely gashed them on the ground. FSU's defensive line is supposed to be one of the best in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
completely out. They asked Brent Key, the Georgia Tech coach, after the game, the reporter, forgive me, I forgot her name. She's like, how do you feel as a former offensive lineman about running the ball? She goes, you kidding me? She's so excited about it. You kidding me? I'm like, college football's back. Montana State.
Gross game.
Sorry.
Fun season.
Yeah, good season. Well, yeah, you still got a chance now with the 12-team playoff. It's not like the season's over like it used to be.
It's Florida State, man. They'll figure out a way to keep them out.
Sure. Sure they will. By the way, they don't even know if it's real football.
Like, this is where the transfer portal stuff, too, like, just as a fan, right? Like, just as a fan, a Florida State graduate trying to watch the game. You're like, I don't – like, I've had a tough time wrapping my mind around it all summer that, I got to root for DJ Uiagalelei under center. And, like, it's –
yeah, and there's – and then there's him.
Like he was a rival quarterback 2 years ago. Now he's just collecting checks,
we're
basically.
Still trying to make Uiagalelei a thing.
Yeah, we're still trying to make that a thing. And then he was terrible. And I don't know what the offensive
game I'm just saying, we're trying to make him as a football player a thing. And it's just Montana State, 13.5-point favorites, down 17 in the fourth quarter to New Mexico. Mm-hmm. They have to outscore the Lobos 21-0 in the fourth, including a 93-yard touchdown run to get the victory. No cover in sight. SMU, 27.5-point favorites, down 11 in the fourth quarter to Nevada. Outscore Nevada 16-0 in the fourth quarter to get the win there. RJ Maryland almost single-handedly doing it for SMU. And Hawaii, 39.5-point favorite against jet-lagged Delaware State. They gacked a 14-0 lead. It was 14-14. They end up winning by 21, but that's only in quotes by 21.
I feel like Hawaii does that a lot at the beginning of the season.
I'm just saying. Tread lightly with some of these college football consensus opinions as we move into week one next week. Little baseball break before we talk NFL. Mark Borchard next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, speaking of NFL, which we'll get to here momentarily, we're releasing our updated NFL betting guide tomorrow. How about that? New guide. We'll have post-preseason updates for every team with new insight on players to watch, week one betting systems, and, of course, more best bets from all of us pretty much. Grab our football season special and get full Visa Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175. That's over 5 months of daily best bets, exclusive betting splits data, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video analysis, special edition guides. Time is ticking, though. With the NFL season about to start, you need to act now to get the most out of every game. Lock in your VSiN Pro access through football season for only $175, or start a monthly subscription for just $19 and see how VSiN Pro can make you a better better. That's E-R-O-R. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Did you have Keegan Bradley, by the way?
No.
Did not?
Nope. But as you know, I'm always happy for Keegan when he wins.
I know you are.
Especially when you're in the playoffs, baby. Yeah. Now he's rolling in, what, fourth and starting strokes?
Fourth and starting
strokes. I might have to throw a few bucks on him this week. He's like 30-1.
What's the prize? $25 million prize?
$25 million. I was wondering, they were taking a while to post odds this morning. Got a couple tweets. I did tweet. I'm like, where the hell is the odds at? Got a couple tweets about, McIntyre, Matsuyama dealing with injuries. Maybe there's questions about that. But this is just PSA. If you're betting golf this week, you just want to tee it up and hit one shot, because it's $550,000 for last place.
Good God.
So just tee off, and then you can withdraw.
30 dudes, 550 for last place. $25 million grand prize for the winner. Or as the live golfer say, that's adorable. Mark Borchard joins us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him at BaseWinner, basewinner.com. And, of course, he is a co-host, if you will, of the BetUS baseball show each and every morning. It's Mark Borchard, everybody. How you doing, Mark? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line.
I'm doing great, Gil. It's been a really fun season for me. It's an interesting season. I don't think there's ever been, well, maybe there has been, but I can't remember in my 20 years of doing this, roughly, Gil, where the results of like projecting the playoffs and World Series, I think it comes down to the health of Tyler Glasnow and Yamamoto for the Dodgers. And I, you know, from what I can ascertain, and I don't think it looks very good for Glasnow. I mean, Roberts is saying he's got a long road back, and that tendonitis, I don't know if you've ever dealt with that. That's, I mean, it's cryptic. Sometimes you can get rid of it and sometimes you can't. So, and then Yamamoto, speaking of cryptic, I can't find much on him either. And so what we have is we have two of the top 10 pitchers, arguably, maybe not even arguably, that we don't know what's going to happen when they get to the playoffs. And I think that that's something for me, at least, from a health standpoint. I don't remember this ever with two pitchers that are at that level that have that much of an impact on the playoff situation, Gil.
Yeah, and as we sit here today, Dodgers have the best record in all of baseball, 78-53, a one-game lead, if you will, over the Yankees for the best record in baseball, for those who bet that market, and a three-game lead in the NL West over the Arizona Diamondbacks, clinging to a three-game lead. So, again, you're projecting into the postseason. They still got to solidify their position heading in to the postseason with the Diamondbacks and Padres sort of breathing down their neck.
Yeah, I'm not as bearish as everybody else is. I mean, you look at this Dodgers offense, and I have them at 5.38 projected runs. And I think the next offense, I mean, they're so good, Gil, and this is based on last 500 plate appearances. I think the next offense, the Yankees are number one. So the Yankees are in 5.47. But then after the Dodgers, it goes 5.38 run projection and then 5.01 with the Phillies. But you're talking even with Bueller and Miller in there instead of Glasnow and Yamo be there, their disparity, the run differential, if you will, run scored minus runs against from a projection standpoint, I've got the Dodgers number one in baseball still. So I don't see that happening. You know, it's priced at DraftKings minus 800. I've got it minus 839. I think that the odds makers are right on as far as that division goes, Gil.
Excellent use of the 80s jam. Yamo be there as well, included in that paragraph.
It's such a good song. It's very underrated, Gil, I think.
All right, let me throw up this tweet here. Let me throw up a couple tweets, actually. This is regarding the National League Rookie of the Year. This is from Underdog MLB. GM Cherington on Paul Skeens, talking about the Pirates front office viewpoint as of yesterday. There is a range of innings we don't want him to go past this season. Could lead to shorter starts. Now, we're sitting here on August 26th. By the way, this on the same day that Jackson Merrill hits another just absolutely dramatic home run. So you've got right now Jackson Merrill with 19 home runs, many of which have been dramatic, impactful late-inning home runs, yesterday happening to be the game winner against the Mets. And then you've got Paul Skeens, who has pitched in a total of 17 games. So 19 homers versus a pitched in 17 full games. Right now, Jackson Merrill is the favorite, and he's the biggest favorite he's been the whole way through, right? He's about minus 145. You might even find him a little higher in some spots. If you had a vote today, so in other words, we don't know how this Skeens thing is going to play out. Maybe he has three more starts. Maybe he goes the rest of the season, but he's limited in a pitch count in each of these games. We don't know. But right at this moment, if you had a vote, who are you voting for, Mark Borchardt?
Oh, I'm voting for Merrill. I think that, like, for me, it comes down, the guy's got to be extra special from a war standpoint. But the fact that Merrill plays every day and Skeens doesn't, I mean, that's, I mean, unfortunately, for me, it would be really hard for me to vote for a pitcher for Rookie of the Year, Gil.
Okay. You talk about the Dodgers. You are very bullish on them. Obviously, there's the two pitchers that you talked about in Glasnow and Yamamoto. Let me talk about the Yankees for a second. So, obviously, with the Dodgers, you have Shohei Ohtani goes 40-40. He's the sixth man to do it. Canseco, Bonds, A-Rod, Soriano, who did it with the Natties, and of course, last year, Acuna. Now Otani's the sixth. He does it quicker than anybody. I want to say Canseco was the previous quickest, and that was September 23rd. Like, it wasn't even close to this early. So Otani could get to 45-45, 50, or 50-50. We'll see. And then there's Judge, who hits his 50th and his 51st. He's now on pace to break his AL record of 62. But can I just ask you this about the Yankees? Like, when they get in the postseason, this whole thing where guys are pitching to him still, won't that go away?
If you know, that's a...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Gil. That's a really... Because I kind of know where you're going with that.
Yeah.
It's a super good point because I don't know if I've ever seen this in my ratings. And, you know, well, I don't, maybe you can remember a 1-2 combination where if you're looking at their base runs or OPS, whatever you're looking at, the first two people in Major League Baseball are from the same team, and that's what you get with Judge and Soto. And then the disparity between Judge and Soto, like Judge, for me, the way I calculate base runs, put the park factor in and stuff, he's a run 0.3 runs better from a projection than Soto is. He's at 9.55 per game if you had everybody was Aaron Judge in the lineup, and then Soto would be 8.15. It's still tremendous. The next guy's Vlade Jr. at 7.48. So yeah, I mean, you make a good point, because you can in the postseason. And I don't maybe think people put this, think about this. I never did. You can pitch around these guys. So to an extent, I mean, so they're going to have to get production, Gil, from the rest of their lineup. Which
yes, they are.
Yeah.
And that is a massive question mark for the Yankees. What'd you land on today, sir?
Well, I'm going to go with the Royals here, and I've kind of flipped the script on me. I've been against the Royals pretty much all year, but I think that, you know, there's some solid things about this team. You know, bullpen wise, I think they're still kind of middle of the pack. Offensively, they're middle of the pack, but this starting pitcher, Cole Ragans, is really good. I'm going to have no regrets betting on him today. You look at his stuff plus, 81st percentile stuff plus, the strikeout percentile last 10 median is 30.6. It's the second highest strikeout percentage on the board today. So I'm going to go first five Kansas City, and it's a doubleheader today in the first game of that doubleheader. That's the first leg of the parlay. And I'm going to play them today with the Red Sox, Gil. I'd like this Pivetta. This Pivetta's got the best, talk about stuff plus, best stuff plus in the game. High strikeout percentage, last 10 median, 34.4%. That's in the 99th percent. So I don't think we should count this Red Sox team out yet. They still have, about a 40 to 45% chance of making the playoffs. Got this game priced at minus 208. So the parlay today is going to be first five Kansas City with Boston full game, Gil.
Okay. Guardians, by the way, clinging to a three-game lead over both the Twins and the Royals. So that's a big doubleheader between the Guardians and the Royals today for sure. And Mark didn't miss an opportunity to get a dad joke in there, a little pun. You should be the father that embarrasses his child with, like, using hip TikTok terms. Like
it's such a great scene. You know, Jennifer Aniston, it's called We Are the Millers, I think. I think it's We Are the Millers. It's such a great scene. The no regret scene in that movie is perfect.
No regrets tattoo.
Mark should go around, like, saying Riz and cap and no cap. And
what
stuff
else,
like
dude?
That. I don't know. That's all I got so far. I'll let you know by next segment if I have more. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. At base winner.
Thank you, Gil.
We're coming back. NFL Week 1 contest plays next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You pumped for the Circus Survivor docuseries to continue tonight?
Hell yeah.
The quest for $9.2 million, episode 2 tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. Right here on VSiN, the five-part docuseries takes you inside the high-stakes world of the annual Circus Survivor contest. Episode 1 last week was awesome. Follow the contestants as they make all-or-nothing picks over the 2023 NFL season. Go behind the scenes of the world's largest legal betting contest. Emphasis on legal. Several VSiN hosts make appearances along the way to offer their advice. You can watch the remaining episodes this week, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on VSiN.com and YouTube TV, as well as a live broadcast on X. Go to VSiN.com/Survivor for details or to watch episode 1. By the way, we say legal. I'm sure it's the richest legal or illegal, quite frankly. $9.2 million last year? Come on.
I agree.
As far as a Survivor contest, it's got to be.
Was it in episode 1 where Derek made that clarification, though? So I feel like we should stick with legal.
Oh, no, I'm actually going to say it. I'm just, you know, thinking out loud. By the way, episode...
No, I thought the same thing. When I heard Derek say that, I thought the same thing. I'm like, it's probably just the biggest period.
Again, the ones that I was in back in the day that were shut down by the feds, those were not quite this big. This is huge. I mean, this is absolutely, and this year, who knows, over 10 million, maybe 11 million. We'll see how many Survivor entries there are ultimately. But episode 2 tonight, 3, 4, 5, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Tonight's episode, Kelly, I got a little sneak preview of it. A lot of Stormy again, which is awesome. Again, Stormy should be featured in every single one of these. So a lot of Stormy Bonatoni in this one, and a lot of Dave Sharapan. breakout party for Dave Sharapan.
Yeah, Dave's awesome.
Get it done, Dave.
Dave's awesome.
Yeah, no, he's in there a lot. So it's it continues the season. So we're talking about.
I'm going to guess you're in there once or twice.
I'm in there once or twice. Yeah. Post week three into sort of like the meat of the season tonight in episode number two. So look forward to that. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. All right, you want to talk. Now that the preseason is behind us, and by the way, I don't want to say congratulations yet because Jacoby Brissett says he's fine, but he plays in preseason game number three. He gets hurt, and so people who had Drake May to start week one tickets at like plus 550 or whatever it was might cash. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll draw Mayo saying he's okay.
Said
he could have come back, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, still worth pointing out.
We'll see.
He took a hit.
Yeah.
And you know, those are the type of shots we see where it's the old, you know, not saying he has any of this. Obviously, Mayo said he's fine, but those are the same type of shots we see with broken collarbones and all that kind of stuff. So,
can I have a brief aside that will only matter to me more than anybody? My little buddy Owen, who was headed to become the Ravens' number three running back behind Derrick Henry and Justice Hill, he breaks his foot in the game this weekend, the last preseason game. And so now he goes from going to make the 53-man roster to, this is the cruelty of the NFL with fringe players.
Yep.
Where it's like, well, you're out for 6 weeks. You're kind of no use to us now. So I don't know if the Ravens cut him and then another team hopefully picks him up or if John Harbaugh keeps him. But it was just brutal weekend.
It's awful.
I was
sitting there at dinner last night. I didn't see the game, and I saw it just come across on the ticker.
I'm way more heartbroken than he is. He's like in great spirits about it. He's like, oh, no, it's going to all work out.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, that
great
is.
Great attitude. Great attitude.
Like you and I were texting. Yeah. And like you just said, it's just. It's that part of the business. It's just, it's brutal,
we
man.
Don't ever
and
talk
we never
about
talk
it.
About it.
Yeah, it's tough. By the way, thing or not a thing, Bryce Young played well on one drive. Thing or not a thing.
Not a thing.
People want to make it a thing, don't they? I'm like,
so glad you brought
easy.
So glad
easy,
you brought
everybody.
I'm not saying I can guarantee it's not a thing.
Yeah.
But you used one important phrase there.
One drive. Everybody relax. Could be. I hope the kid does well. But yeah.
Every once in a while, when I go out to the basketball court, Gil, I make a 3-pointer.
Do you?
Yeah. Every once in a while.
Yeah. And then people take that as their one snapshot of you. They're like, Midland has really gotten good behind
the
arc.
Amazing shooter.
All right. So, contest plays. Now, again, we're what 12 days away from having to submit. Because we'll talk Survivor plenty again, but 12 days away from having to submit our 5 plays for Circa Millions or an equivalent 5-game handicapping contest that you might be involved at, the Westgate, DraftKings, whatever it is. And so with the preseason over, I decided last night, I was like, all right, let's look in earnest at what my 5 plays might be. And then also, by the way, accompanied with that, what are my 3 plays going to be on the Beating the Book Megapod? Because on the Megapod, as you recall, me, Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and our guest, the guest chair, 3 a week. The last 2 years, I have crushed on 3. Won the Megapod easily last year. The year before, lost because I had to play in the Cincinnati-Buffalo-DeMar Hamlin game.
Oh, yeah.
Could have won, but that game became a non-play, so I lost by a half game to Todd.
But
anyway.
What does the winner get for this?
Oh, just the ability to brag about it.
I was going to say, I know there's bragging rights, man. We should be throwing something on the line here.
The point of this, though, is that after 3 and I get to 4 and 5, I drop off a cliff. And that's why these handicapping contests are so difficult. Because you can get 3 deep and be pretty good. At least I can. But 4 or 5, oh, no.
You guys should each have your own secret sushi spots, and the other two have to fly out to the other person.
I have to give
and visit their city and go to their favorite sushi spot.
I have to give a number 2 and number 3 later today on the show. I didn't do
that. Oh, yeah, yeah, you do. Yes, yeah.
I have a promise and then I don't keep it. All right.
Yeah, we really pissed off some people on Friday.
Yeah, but you know what? People understood, though, because I had said it the whole way through.
Yeah, like, I got a lot of texts and DMs, though, too, of like, okay, come on, just cop.
Oh, no, no.
And I was like, no, man,
punch you in the face, Kelly Bidlin.
I was there. Those kind people, I will not do that to.
Okay, so that's right, out of respect. So in no particular order of confidence.
Yeah.
Jets plus 4.5 at San Francisco. I'm taking the points with the New York Jetropolitans. And you know I love the San Francisco 49ers. You know I love Brock Purdy. But 4.5 seems a little frisky in terms of a number against a Jets defense, which I think is going to be, continue to be, spectacular. And obviously with Aaron Rodgers now ready to go, I'll take the 4.5 points, thank you very much, as great as the Niners are. And again, there's the Brandon Ayuk thing happening. We're showing 5.5 even right now. So I'll take the points with the Jets. That's the Monday night game, by the way. That's the last of the bunch. That's the first one that stood out to me.
I'm going
to
say let's hit the update button, fellas, because this is a game that keeps moving. Open 5.5. We're down to 4, 3.5 most. There's a 3.5 at DraftKings.
As long as it's more than 3, I'm taking the points.
Okay. And otherwise, it's basically painted 4. There is a 4.5 at Boyd.
And these aren't out yet, obviously. The contest, you know, lines aren't out yet. This is for next week. We have the awkward week off where Drew Dinsick takes his wife for whatever vacation he's on right now. The other one, and these, you were alluding to this earlier. I'm grabbing Arizona as long as it's 6 points or more at Buffalo.
I will be there with you. I bet it plus 6.5. As long as it's 6 or more, I'll be there.
The thing about these week one contest plays, having not been able to see actual regular season football, is it's got to correlate with your pre-flop convictions. The whole opinions you've had for now 6 weeks, I can't really go against the fact that I think Buffalo is going to have a tough season. I've outlined why I think the offense is going to have trouble, that the field won't be spread as much, and that Josh Allen is going to have to be a one-man wrecking crew. And then with the Cardinals, with Kyler Murray, like, I just think we forget that they can be good at times. At times.
The offense
with
can
Kyler
be.
Murray, the offense can be. So I'll take the points on the Cardinals as well in week one. So Jets with the points against the Niners, Cardinals with the points against the Bills. The other one that relates to a preseason conviction is the Atlanta minus 3 against Pittsburgh. I mean, I kind of have to take that one, right?
I'll be on that, too.
I have to.
I bet it at 2.5. I'll play it 2.5, 3 in the contest.
Not because I love Atlanta and Kirk Cousins like others do, but just because I think Pittsburgh's a disaster. And I just think the quarterback play is going to be a disaster, too, with Russell Wilson, I think, getting the week one start here. Tomlin, by the way, saying I'm not telling anybody until the end of the week. End of the work week.
I saw Adam Schefter, angry Adam Schefter this morning. I like when these guys are like out of character. So I'm like, Adam Schefter, why are you so angry about everything? But he made a good point. Like, what? Why do you need to announce this?
You're going to announce?
Yeah, like, no. Just announce a starting quarterback before the day of the game. Like, why don't you just go college football style and not tell anybody who the starter's going to be and roll into it? There's a big difference between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields starting at quarterback. Like, use whatever kind of advantage you have.
Yeah, I also think announcing 2 announces is a funny thing.
Right, yeah, I know. How many times has he done that?
The other two that I'm thinking, again, if I had to put them in today, Jets, Cardinals, Falcons giving the 3 against Pittsburgh, Philly giving the 2.5 against Green Bay.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
On Friday night, the second game of the season.
I'm higher on Philly than you, and I don't think I'm not there yet.
I just feel like an opening home game at night against
Brazil. Remember that Brazil.
Pardon me, home in quotes, in Brazil. But Jordan Love getting, you know, the hype here. I'll give the 2.5. And then the fifth, I think it might be a survivor play for me. I think it will be, at least on maybe multiple entries. New Orleans minus 4 versus Carolina. That one scares me a bit, given the 4. But I think, again, getting a 4th and 5th pick is tough. But I think those are the 5 right now I would go to. For what it's worth, we'll come back on the other side. Jake Hahn, golf and tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at Barcana, the Barrage, here in downtown Las Vegas at the D, Bar Canada, floor number 2. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. No McDonald's downstairs anymore, Kelly. That's it. R.I.P.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even walk by it.
I didn't either. I'm just assuming. Got an interesting text here from Steve Fezzik. Are you familiar with the Steve Fezzik?
What's Stevie got to say?
He said, my son and I just listened to your first segment. He said to me, Daddy, Gil is saying exactly what you just said to me this morning, and I promise you, Fez and I didn't talk about this, is that what you just said to me this morning, summarizing college football. We know nothing. He asked, was there a Cliff Notes that was sent out to all of us? No. Fezzik and your dad and I did not have this discussion. So we arrived at this independently. And by the way, he also asked, I might have missed it, did Base Winner explain which game of the doubleheader he was playing Kansas City on? Yes. The first game, which is the one that Reagans is playing in. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Just want to make sure. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us courtesy of the Progressive guest line. He's co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on Sirius XM NHL. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4. That's H-A-H-N and the number 4. It's Jake Hahn, everybody, from Ontario, Canada. Toronto, I believe, specifically. Am I correct on that? Yes?
You're correct, Gil. And yeah, this is one of my favorite events of the year, the U.S. Open. I don't know if it's just the timing of it. Maybe it's last major of the season, whatever it might be. But, you know, fall's in the air. Hockey's around the corner here in this neck of the woods, at least football as well. So a lot of great things started. Baseball playoffs right around the corner. You get the stretch drive. So this is, we're entering into one of my favorite parts of the sports calendar here over the next couple months.
It is, and I'll say it again, it was one of my bucket list items in sports. Go to a night match at the U.S. Open. The energy, the vibe in at Arthur Ashe and just even on the side courts is unlike anything else in tennis. You can remember through the years, remember those like Marco Bagdatis night matches where he would just ups. I mean, it was just incredible. There's so many players through the years. What did you land on in terms of your picks for day one today? What did you play?
Yeah, so I got three picks for you here, Gil, and I'm curious your take on any of these, if maybe we match up or if we're going head-to-head on any of these plays. But I like an American. I'll start with an American, right? U.S. Open, we might as well get an American on the card. I'm going to go Chris Eubanks plus 120 against Rinderknecht here. Eubanks, I mean, he was in horrible form before Winston-Salem, but he did find something, won a few matches there, ultimately lost to Alex Mickelson. So I liked what I saw from him. I think he can keep this match close with his serve. So I like him at plus money there. Seb Baez as well, guys. Not a great hardcourt player, as you probably know, Gil, but minus 130 against a completely out-of-form Italian player in Dardari. I think he finds a way to at least grind this match out and advance into the second round. And on the women's side, I like Ann Lee plus 110 against Aya Tomljanovic. She just looked rough in the lead up on hardcore tournaments. And I think she's, to me, looks like she's heading close to a retirement here in these coming years. So I like the younger player at plus money.
I am not involved in any of those three, but Ann Lee was in sort of my top 10. She was one of my last ones that I just crossed off. So I am with you on Ann Lee. I would lean towards Ann Lee in that. I guess one of the reasons that I crossed that off is because Tomljanovic still scares me. I guess she was the last player to beat Serena. So there's a little bit that scared me off that. But I definitely lean that way. Baez, for sure, ought to be the favorite there. And then Eubanks and Rinderknecht, I never know because it's a bit serve body, so it absolutely could go either way. But I like your stab at the American Chris Eubanks on that. Did you play any futures at the U.S. Open?
Yeah, so futures are interesting here, guys. I sometimes like to wait a couple rounds to sort of see who's in good form these first couple of rounds. I still think you could find some decent numbers midway through the first week of the tournament. But there are a couple numbers on the men's side that I think are really interesting to jump off the hop. Now, look, we know who the top dogs are. We know Jannik Sinner, Carlos Alcaraz. These guys are the favorites for a reason. Novak Djokovic coming off the gold medal as well. So you make a strong case for any of these guys, and obviously they're priced there for a reason. Alex Zverev has, a pretty great draw, at least to make it to a quarterfinal, and he's been playing some pretty good tennis of late as well. But if you go deeper down the board, there's a couple names that at least interest me, maybe not from an outright perspective, but I think as guys that can go on a decent run here, I'll start with an American in Francis Tiafoe. He's a big game player, guys. Now, I find Tiafoe lacks motivation at times. You know, he's kind of one of those players that could lose to basically anybody on tour. But I also feel like he could challenge anybody on tour. If he gets, on center court against an Alcaraz or a Sinner or a Djokovic, and it would be Novak that he would have to face earlier than any of those players. I think he's the type of player that'll step up and play a big match. And he has that big serve that can trouble some of these top players. So Tiafoe around 80-1 for the outright. Again, that's you know, probably a bit of a long shot, but I think he's someone that can go on a deep run. And I'll stay north of the border here. My guy, Felix Auger-Aliassime, you know, who's coming off a great showing at the Olympics, a great showing over the summer as well. Hasn't necessarily played a lot of hardcore tennis leading up to this tournament, but 100-1 for him. And he's got a favorable draw to win at least a few rounds here, guys. So again, maybe not from an outright perspective, but a couple names, at least on the men's side, I think that could go on a decent run.
No flyers on the ladies' side?
I think Paula Badosa is worth a look here, guys. The ladies' side is the one that I actually want to wait a couple of matches on, because I look past, like, in that 50-100-1 range, there's a lot of names that actually do interest me. And I think, okay, I could see them going on a run, but I don't know where the form is at on some of these players. Like a Madison Keys, she comes in with no form. She just retired in her last match. She is somebody that if she finds it in her first couple of matches, then yeah, I'd be willing to jump in and back her, you know. So she's just an example of one of those players in that range. You know, even a Linda Noskova, who's a great young talent that's coming off of a title over the weekend. You know, how does the travel affect her? She's priced over 100-1. I think if she's finally found it, she's somebody that could also go on a deep run. But I like the form of Paula Badosa right now. You could find her around, you know, 28-35-1, something in that range. She's got a decent little draw here. And I'm okay fading the top of the board here, guys. Like, obviously, Sabalenka deserves to be the favorite. She is the best hardcourt player here. It's tough to get behind Iga on the surface right now, from what I've seen leading up to it. You know, Coco Gauff as well, I don't think is a terrible number there. But I'm okay fading the top of the board and trying to find somebody. You know, this tends to be the breakthrough tournament, whether it's for the women or even for the men. This tended to be the tournament where, you know, maybe we'd catch a bit of a different winner outside of the big three. So I'm okay looking down the board on both the men's and women's side here.
Yeah, I got Badosa to win her quarter at plus 550. The Iga thing, right. I just want to point this out to folks too. I think it's one of the go-to comments that people are making. Oh, it's not her service. She's not that good on hard courts. I have to just say this. She's won 6 1,000s on hard courts. She's also won the U.S. Open before. And this U.S. Open, the courts are playing slow, which is to her advantage. I think that's one of the most misunderstood things about her. I think this is actually perfect surface for her. So I think that this is going to be a sneaky, no one's expecting her to perform kind of tournament for her. And I got her to win it all. So we shall see. And if she wins it, it's her sixth slam at the age of 23, which again is Serena Pace. I just want to point that out. But people love to people. And I'm not talking about you, Jake, by the way. I've heard this a lot about Iga.
I love Iga.
Oh, people are. It's such a false claim about her on this surface. PGA Tour, East Lake Golf Club, Atlanta, for $25 million in the FedEx Cup. Scottie Scheffler is going to start this at 10-under. Xander at 8-under. Hideki, with concerns, at 7-under. And then Keegan Bradley, who just won the BMW, at 6-under. And then we go down, et cetera, down 30 golfers in terms of the starting position here. How are you betting the Tour Championship?
This is always a tricky one, guys. I'm sure Kelly can speak to this as well. There's a couple different markets you can bet with the starting strokes, without the starting strokes. I kind of like to go with the starting strokes, because at the end of the day, these guys are trying to win a golf tournament. I don't know how much they're worried about the tournament without the starting strokes. So I like to try to find some value there. I mean, if anyone watched the tournament over the weekend, Scottie Scheffler just looked completely lost. I don't know if I've ever seen him like that before, at least in a long time. And again, he's coming off a gold medal. It's not like he's been lost for a while. He just played some great golf recently. So, I mean, he's the type of guy that can just snap out of it and find it. But to see him at the top of the board, again, not a guy that you're usually rushing to fade or to bet against. But he did look out of sorts over the weekend. So can he find it over these next few days? You mentioned Hideki. I mean, if you could guarantee me he's healthy, I would be all over him to track down these guys, because he's the type of guy that could absolutely do it. But concerning that he pulled out of a playoff event, so it's hard to get behind him. Ludvig played some good golf over the weekend. I think he set up nicely for Eastlake. Might be a little too far back, guys, but I love the way that Sam Burns is playing. I was on him last week. He just missed out, you know, just missed a bunker hole out on 18, would have probably got him into a playoff with Keegan Bradley. So I think he's someone down the board that could go on a legitimate push. So I'm looking at a big number on Sam Burns, or maybe a Ludvig Åberg to push Scotty at the top of that board.
All right. Tour Championship. FedEx Cup fever. Kelly, you're going to have some FedEx Cup thoughts a little later, maybe?
Yeah.
All right. We'll do that. Jake, always a pleasure. at JHahn4. Jake Hahn, everybody. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, good luck this week, boys. We'll talk soon.
You too. Mike Somich, right here at the D. Somo bombing all of his plays across all sports. That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.